Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
It's exciting for me to be here today in what is the halfway point. It's halftime at the for the Capital Campaign, the one and only Capital Campaign of the 25-year history of Guts Church. And I'm really excited about it. And I'll tell you why. I went years telling people in ministry, telling guys that we've never had a Capital Campaign and we've never had a building program or anything like that. We just cash flow it and we just roll with it. And it was a little bit, maybe a little bit of pride on my part. But I'll tell you what hit me a year and a half ago. And it was subject to the tithe. You know, I've taught on the tithe. I've spoken about the tithe the last few weeks. And I'll just tell you that the tithe is so key because the tithe represents the kingdom. Because our role in the kingdom is putting God first. Okay, so write that down. I put God first. That's my role. And the tithe is not just financial. Matter of fact, I don't believe it has anything to do with our finances. The only thing that has to do with our finances is that it's the first 10% of our income. But see, what it does, Jesus died on the cross. God created the heavens and earth, okay? And then he said, okay, Adam and Eve, it's your play now. And you know what happened there, okay? They made the wrong play. But then Jesus died on the cross, and Jesus died, and he went to hell, and he rose from the dead and the grave and defeated death in the grave. And by doing that, and ascending into heaven, he said, okay, it's your play now. See, and God's going to back our play. And all God requires of us is this, look, just don't forget me. And that's what Jesus, the whole idea of the Last Supper for me is what Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And us doing it in remembrance of him, he's just saying, look, don't forget me. You're not going to see me with your natural eyes. You're not going to be able to shake hands with me or hug me. But let me tell you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm always going to be with you, even to the end of this age. The church age is what we're in. And that's the point that he was making. So now in this, all God's saying is put me first. So the tithe, God says, look, try me now on this. Look, I'll prove this to you, that I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that's going to be so great and so stupendous that you're not going to be able to receive it. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. Your fruit won't fall immature from the vine. And then he goes so far as another layer and says, you'll be called a delightful land. See, the problem with the world today, let me tell you, it's not politics, it's not terrorism, it's not the economy, it's not racism, it's not all that. The problem with the world today, it's real simple to me. It's Christianity and the church has become an oxymoron. People think of God, people don't have a problem with God, but they probably have a problem with the church. People don't have a problem with Jesus. Oh my gosh. If you find anybody in the world today that has a problem with Jesus, oh my gosh, it's just even people of other religions say, oh, Jesus is a great man, he's a great teacher, he's great. They miss the whole point. But people don't have a problem with him. But my goodness, man, if we had a rally of people in this area that had a problem with the church, man, we could fill up every stadium in town. And it's because the bottom line with this, the life that we live is a life of love. And in order to live a life of love, it requires some components. And I just want to be here and just throw out a blanket thank you to this church, not just regarding the Capital Campaign, but just regarding your life in the church. This is the greatest group of people I could ever imagine. I'm telling you, I get to preach in this house. I get to spend my life, and let me just tell you, the entirety of my life is wrapped up here. But I'll just tell you this too. I'm a part of a team, and this is a winning team. I'm telling you, we win. I'm looking around this room. All we do is win. I'm just telling you, no matter what we face. You know, recently I was at a pastor's gathering, and a very well-known, highly acclaimed preacher got up and he said, you know, God doesn't give you the power to remove the mountain. God gives you the energy to go around the mountain or to climb the mountain. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm coming out of my skin because I adamantly disagree with that. wholeheartedly, let me just tell you, God's not energizing you to go around the mountain. God has given you the power to speak to that mountain, command it to be removed and cast into the sea. See, so we've got that kind of power, but let me just tell you, that epitomizes guts. Let me just make an announcement. We're guts. We're guts. Okay, and to help people, we're thinking, well, what is that, a gym, or is that? No, we're guts, and we added the moniker church reluctantly. We're Guts Church, but let me just tell you, at the end of the day, we're guts. It's not an acronym. It's what it takes for us to live for Jesus, to stand up in the world and live for Jesus. And let me just tell you, I didn't do the Capital Camp, not because God told me not to. It's because I'm not good at fundraising. I've realized that. I'm telling you, if you're here today and your life's not right with God, I am going to peel you out of your seat at the end of this service to make that happen. Man, I'm going to do everything I can. We're going to have an altar call or a fist fight. I'm going to do everything that I can for you not to leave here and end up going to hell. I want to make it really hard. Just let me tell you, you guys at Sepulpa, you guys at Skytook, man, let's hear it for Sepulpa and Skytook. Man, let's raise the roof a little bit. You guys, I want to make it hard for people to go to hell. But let me just tell you, this is not about us. It's about him. Man, you know, do you understand something? The church is built for persecution. That's what we're built for. And I'm telling you, if we're not fading the heat, we're not doing anything. And yeah, oh, there's this big dark cloud of media over the church. We don't give a rat's tail about that, and none of that stuff. Well, you know, the internet, you know, everybody's got an opinion. I don't agree with that. There's only one voice I care about, and it's his. I can either please God or I can please man. And you know what? I believe that Jesus came to this earth to put us in the fight. The Bible says he didn't come to make us comfortable. But that's what our society is all about, comfort. Comfortable speech, comfortable titles, comfortable food. Comfort, comfort, comfort. Jesus said, I didn't come to make you comfortable. I came to give you a sword. And that sword is the word of God. So the sword's going to be cutting. You think politics separates families? Not like the word. See, I'm here to tell you that the word is going to separate us. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to separate our soul and our spirit and even our bone and our marrow. See, and it's the discerners of the thoughts and intents of our heart. I don't even know what's in my heart. Not so much as I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what's in my heart without the word. But see, we've got to look at our lives now and we've got to say, okay, what are we doing? Are we winning? Because I think that the Bible says that anyone who hangs on a tree, which is who Jesus was, is a curse. See, those criminals that were crucified on each side of Jesus, they were cursed. That's why they were there. But see, here Jesus, who never sinned, never was about any of that stuff, he hung on that cross with common criminals. And you know why? Because he became my curse. See, he just didn't carry my curse. He became my curse. He became my poverty. He became my sickness. He became my death. So what died on that cross? Think about it. What died? My sickness died on that cross. My death died on that cross. Do you understand? You're looking at a man that is never going to die. I'm going to go from life to life. And you know what? I'm going to pray this way while I'm in this life. God on earth as it is in heaven. Can you guys repeat that with me? On earth as it is in heaven. Say it again. See, so we've got to know his word because then we know the kingdom and we know heaven. And see, in looking at this, when I go to the word and I've got trigger scriptures that just, they trigger me into a frenzy almost where it's like I'm ready to go now. One of them is Romans, the 12th chapter. In Romans 12, 1, Paul starts it out. It's very serious where he said, look, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I'm begging you, brothers. See, it's family. This is you're my people in here today. How many of you guys, man, did you know that, man, this is, Sandy's here, my kids are here, my friends, my people. This is my world right here. It's summed up. I'm telling you, you guys sitting in Sepulpa, this is my world. Man, we had the first Friday groceries at Sepulpa a couple days ago, this last Friday. So on Fridays now, there's three Friday groceries going on around this area. Can I hear it? And let me just tell you, I drove up there with Pastor Dave Dollar from Waveside Church in Malibu, California, our friend Dave. And let me tell you, he's still just a stud. He's awesome. But man, we drove up and sat in my truck for about 10 minutes, and all I saw were smiling faces. That's all I saw. It's like, this is so cool. Man, AJ and Mariah, you do an incredible job, your team. Man, Denton, great job with Friday groceries. But listen, and it's just remarkable. I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I think that there's people that are forgetting they're poor coming in here. I mean, they're leaving with carts full of food. And let me tell you, it's just gonna keep growing. That's how it happens. Man, think about the distribution center here. Thousands of people a month are impacted by it. And that's because of what? Number one, you guys ready to take some notes? I need to get on track here for you concrete thinkers. Number one, man, I want to thank you for your faithfulness and your generosity. Your faithfulness and your generosity. And really honestly, the idea of this, I could get up here and I could pump you full of stats. And let me just tell you, I'll just tell you one thing. You're doing a great job. You're part of something that's great. And that's the key. I don't want to be a part of just something normal or part of something anybody could be a part of. I want to come back to this. We are guts, man. We're different. We're cut from a different cloth. I'm just telling you, man, we've got to be a people that put Jesus first. You know, the expectation is that we know and hear God's voice, and we're going to be faithful to his voice. Anybody say yay about that? Yeah. See, and that's who we've got to be. That's what we've got to be about. Now, so number one, it's faithfulness and generosity. If there's one thing that we're remembered for, what I care about is generosity. Number two, point number two, the big why. Why are we doing this capital campaign? Why do we have church? Change lives. That's it. It's that simple. It's two words. Change lives. Here's how this works. You want to know how this works? I'm gonna pull back the curtain and you're gonna see the man with the levers behind the curtain. Okay? Here it is, right here. We tell people about Jesus and God changes their life. It's that simple. It's how missions work. It's how the church works. It's how our services works. It's how our music works. It's how the distribution center, our outreaches, it's how that works. We tell people about Jesus and God changes their life. And here's what the word says. Paul said, look, I sowed, Apollos watered, and God provides the increase. Write that in your notes. God provides the increase. But let me just tell you, this is about changed lives. This is why we do what we do. This capital campaign, you might be wondering, you might think, oh, this capital campaign, we got a new roof. Oh, this capital campaign, we're getting a new playground in the kids' church and renovating the kids' church, new bathrooms and kids and youth. We're putting in hospitality areas, plazas all over the church where people aren't just gonna run to their truck and drive off. And no, you know what? Man, they're gonna hang a little bit. Man, I wanna make it hard for people to go to hell. I wanna roll out a red carpet for sinners in this church. I'm telling you, Peter said it very simply, and I believe this is a byline of God's church. It's God's will that none should perish. So you know what? We've got to get to them. The footprint in Tulsa, in Skytook, in Sepulpa, in Broken Arrow, man, I'm ready to extend that footprint into North Tulsa. I'm ready to go to Claremore. I'm ready to go to Tahlequah. I'm ready to go to Muskogee. Anybody ready to go with me? Man, see, this is where the whole idea, it's about that footprint. And I'll tell you what God wants to do. I'll tell you why the tithe is so invaluable in our lives. It creates margins for our lives. Man, if you tithe and you put God first, we're not gonna be so flippant with our money. You're not gonna walk around going, I don't know where all my money goes. Sandy and I, Pastor Sandy and I know exactly where our money goes. And the number one place is right here in this house. Before my house, before her house, it goes into this house. Before our children, it goes into this house. And I'll tell you why. It's a life of favor. Just write that down. That God has given us a life of favor. But how many people have that? And I'm talking about in a practical sense in your life. See, it's a life of favor. Do you understand that that's all the tithe is about? Look, God said, look, put me first so I can favor you. See, so it's about changed lives. It's not just a nice thing for us to do. This is vital. That's number three. This is vital. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, listen, a living sacrifice. Maybe for the first time in the history of this church, this capital campaign is requiring us to sacrifice. Man, Sandy paid the last installment of the first year of our campaign commitment this morning. So we sat in our family room last week, and she said, it's just amazing. She said, how much money that we've been able to give to the church this past year. And oh my gosh, it's like we can't lose now. Do you understand that? Do you understand everything we touch, everything we put our hand to prospers? Do you understand that with that? But see, it all requires a confidence. That's what all this requires. I'll tell you, I don't have the skill set required to do what I do. I need to be a better public speaker. I need to be more of a concrete thinker. I need to have, but let me just tell you, what I do have, I know I have. I've got passion, and I've got drive, and I've got energy. And you know something else? I mean, the whole idea of this, man, I just look at it. I'm confident. I really am. I'm the least among you. There's hundreds of better speakers, but let me just tell you, I'm confident that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. I'm confident that if we could get these hands on somebody who's sick, they're going to recover. I'm confident that God is who he says he is. And see, let me just tell you, we've got to make that connection between our faith, our trust in God, and our confidence in that. You know, I'm not walking in going, man, I hope this works. And I'm also not walking in and saying, look, I suck as a fundraiser. I'm telling you what right now, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I'm not just here to motivate you or inspire you. I am here to rally you, and I'll tell you why. Because this church, this campaign, let me tell you what it does. You might be a person that gives $10,000 a month or $10 a month. It doesn't matter. The Bible says it doesn't matter to God to save by many or by few. Man, you might be somebody in this campaign where you're sowing, or you might be somebody you're watering. But let me tell you what happens at the end of the day. On the other side of that equation is what matters. God provides the increase. Man, we go to Romans, the 12th chapter, in the second verse. And Paul says, man, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? We've got to prove the will of God. See, the will of God is on trial on the earth. And you know what? We are witnesses of the power of God. Man, we're living sacrifices. Verse 3, Paul writes and says, for I say, through the grace, see, man, this sacrifice that we give, man, there's grace attached to that. Man, God sees it and doesn't take it lightly. To everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Man, don't put yourself out in front. Man, if you get all contemplative or you start thinking, man, your needs start growing and growing and growing. But you know what? You come in here, let me tell you what we're good at. We're good at this proclamation. Look, magnify the Lord with me. Man, how about we say that a few times? Say this with me. Now I get a mental block. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be, come on. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Now, hold it. As you're saying that, you know what your debt's going, what's he saying? Whoa. And you know what your debt starts doing? Shrinking. You know what God starts doing? He starts getting bigger. God gets bigger and bigger. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. The B side of that verse, they said, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. You leave here today, man, you face that mountain in front of you, let the Lord be magnified. Don't let that mountain be magnified. Man, don't let your disability be magnified. Don't let that prognosis be magnified. Man, it's time. Don't let the strife in your marriage be magnified. Man, let's make the Lord bigger. Man, let's make his word bigger. But then the B side of that verse is, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. You being prosperous, let me tell you, has nothing to do with money, has everything to do with control. Man, some of you guys, what God wants to do is give you back control in your life. Control over what? Control over your finances, control over your health, control over your life. God, the enemy's not gonna be able to cut your life short. He's not gonna be able to cut your ministry short. Let me tell you, what I believe is he'll lay in the weeds for 30 or 40 years to trip you up. And you know what? I've got two words for him. Let him. Let the enemy lay in the weeds. Because you know what? I'm on the highway of holiness. Sin can't travel where I'm rolling. Man, let him lay. Let the devil lay in the dadgum weeds. You know why? He's defeated. He's already lost. He can't deceive me now. You know why? I know God's word. I know God's promise. Man, through the grace that was given me. And he said, look, to think of yourself soberly. And the last thing he says in verse 3, let me tell you, it's pivotal here. For to each one of us, God's given a measure of faith. So this capital campaign we're in right now, I'm not a salesman. I'm just sold. This capital campaign, God's gonna give you a measure of faith for it. It's critical for us to complete this. And we're at the halfway point, it's halftime. It's critical, why? Why is it critical? I'll tell you why. Because we're guts, we're finishers. See, what Jesus said is, they came to Jesus and they'd been working and they were tired and they were hungry and they're ministered because ministry's hard. Oh my gosh, just the labor of ministry. It's like working in a dadgum salt mine. And they said, Jesus, you're hungry. We should get some food. And he said, I have food that you don't know of. And it's funny because Peter turned to one of the other disciples. He said, did you give him food? Where do you get food? We're hungry too. He's bogarting all that food. He's got food. He didn't give us any food. And he said, I have food that you don't know of. And you know what he said? My food is to do the will of he who sent me. Now listen, and to finish his work. See, we're all thinking about God's will. We're all thinking about doing his will. But I'm telling you, I'm thinking about finishing. You know, what if, and how? I don't know how many generations are in this room. There's probably three or four right now. It's Sky, I think it's a pulpit, but there's multiple generations. I'm one of those guys. I'm just thinking the generation that's gonna bring Jesus back might be in this room right now. Man, and if I can extend the throw a little bit of what God's called me to do and be a part of that, I'm all in. I'm all in favor of it. Man, I wanna be a part of the generation that brings Jesus back. But let me tell you how that's gonna happen, that we've gotta take the gospel to the four corners of the earth. You know, I was on a national radio show after 9/11, and they were talking about end times, and they wanted me to debate Carlton Pearson at that time. And I said, man, Carlton's my friend. I don't want to debate him publicly. I'll talk to him privately, but you're not going to make a show of this publicly. And so then the guy asked me, he said, okay, if you don't want to do that, does this mean it's end times? I said, no, it doesn't mean it's end times. If some wicked, evil people hijack a plane and fly it into some buildings, that doesn't mean it's end times. He said, why? How do you know that? I said, I know for sure that. He said, well, how do you know that? He said, because I feel like this is apocalyptic. I feel like this is end times. I said, well, it's not. He said, why? I said, because what determines end times is the church. The gospel's got to be preached to the four corners of the earth, and then the end comes. We determine when the end comes. Yeah, give God a hand for that. See, we're not just some ragdoll people that churchy people. Man, I'm telling you, we're a force to be reckoned with. We are guts. We have what it takes. This is what it takes to live for Jesus. What's it gonna take for you to tithe? It's gonna take some guts. What's it gonna take for you to be a part, for you to be sold on this? What's it gonna take for you to see that guy with tubes and wires and all that stuff hanging out of him? And you say, man, here, I just believe that these signs will follow those who believe, and I'm a believer. We'll cast out devils. We'll speak with new tongues. If we touch any deadly thing, it won't harm us. We'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. See, the world, we might say, well, I'm not sure the world's ready for that message. The world wasn't ready for Jesus. How did they reject Jesus? Remember those two guys after the resurrection? They're walking on that path. Jesus goes walking up with them. And they're going, hey, what's been going on? He goes, what do you mean what's been going on? You didn't hear? Man, that dude, he said he was the Son of God. He said he rose from the dead. He said, that tomb's empty. I don't know what happened. Man, I'm telling you, he's going to take his show to Vegas. This is crazy. And they're walking along, and then Jesus leaves. They realize it was Jesus, and the one turned to the other and said, did nothing leap within you? What are you, some kind of idiot? The guy goes, well, you didn't get anything either. The world's not ready for this message. Write that down. We've just got to be ready to deliver it. That's how this works. We've got to be sold on it. We can't be selling all the time. And number four, this is going to be grammatically incorrect. Save your emails. You guys that are English majors or something are literary. Like my daughter Kennedy reads a book a day. And nobody knows where she came from. A stork delivered her or something. Because we read, Sandy, but it's a Taylor, have you read a book? But it's opening day. No, Kennedy comes to church today and she goes, everybody's wearing their jersey. Why didn't you tell me? And somebody said, because you were reading. But the point is, so I know you people, okay, but listen, point number four, you abstract thinkers, you wild people in here, you guys that are knuckleheads, you're probably going to shout here. But point number four is this is everyone church power. Now, if you guys, the intellects in here, if you're thinking, that doesn't make sense, just think about it for a minute, it's going to. You don't want to go to a church that's just putting on a Sunday show. I'm telling you, you're at Guts. That's why you're here. I don't want to go. It can't just be Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday. I mean, we've got to, and ministry's messy. Man, you kind of answer your own prayer in here today by not thinking that you're exempt from taking these steps or making a financial commitment in a campaign. We all are. It's not about the amount. I'm just telling you, the money's going to come in. I'm confident the money's going to come in. But there's also a faith that's required, and God gives us a measure of faith, but there's a faith that's required in this current campaign that extends beyond it. And this is key for you guys, because what this is right now in our lives for a lot of us is just the regular season. And we have regularly scheduled games, and we've got a regular season that we're playing our schedule, and man, we win a game, and we game plan for the next game, and you know, we're trying not to look a couple games down the schedule. We're living, but let me just tell you what winning in the regular season does. It opens you up to the playoffs. And it's interesting because the regular season is where what you're contracted for as an athlete. You're contracted for the regular season. But you know what? There's bonus money, and then there's more. But it transcends money when you get to the playoffs. Man, most of these guys, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl this year. He got paid much less for the Super Bowl than he did for regular season games. But see, you have to understand, look at it, but what is he in it for? He's in it for the playoffs. He's in it for the Super Bowl. He's in it for that championship. And see, that's what this is going to do. This is going to open up the regular season. And because I'm just telling you, and this is not bad news. So hear me when I say you are going to face tougher opponents than you are right now. There are tougher opponents that are coming into your schedule. And it doesn't matter, because greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. And you know what? Man, you win in the regular season. Man, so many Christians peak early. Man, you don't want to win the first few games and then start getting apathetic and start thinking, well, oh my gosh, yeah, this is just routine for us. This is not routine. And I'll tell you what we call this capital campaign. It's legacy. We're rolling a red carpet out for sinners. You know, there's little things that we do that we just take for granted that sweep people off their feet. This is family, guys. This is everyone church power. Everyone church. there's a capital campaign card in the seat back in front of you. Some of you guys have fulfilled your commitment already. Make a new one. You shot too low the first time. Some of you guys made a commitment and you're just steady with it. Stay steady. Some of you guys didn't make a commitment. Make one today. Be a part of this last half. Let me tell you what the kind of leader I am, okay? And I know it's hard on people. I understand that. But I'm a all hands on deck leader. I just know that David, when kings were supposed to be at war, took a break and made the biggest mistake of his life with Bathsheba. See, I think we've got to look at it. We've got to understand that we are under authority, and one fight, we all fight. One rejoice, we all rejoice. I'm telling you, don't stay silent. Don't get all stoved up and go through what you're going through alone. Don't do it. Let's not let our neighbors go through it alone. Let's not let the people that are sitting by us go through it alone. I know you're going through something. I know it. But I can't help unless I'm connected, I'm there. Man, there's people in this room I trust with every little detail of my life, every bit of it. I allow what I struggle with. You allow what you struggle with. You got struggles? Tell Tom. I trust Tom. Tell Scott. Whoever you are, you got any struggles, just tell Scott. You hear me? Just tell him. And you know what? Because they're all common. There's like the basic struggles we all have. But we have to come into church and play a role and act like we don't. Let me hear. Nobody here is pointing any fingers. The great thing about Guts Church, there's not a critical spirit. Nobody's judging anybody in here. You know what this church is? From the first day, come as you are. But let me just tell you, you're not going to stay the way you are. God's going to make you better. Why? This is about changed lives. Just fill that card out. Do what God tells you to do. Man, you know his voice. You hear his voice. Just commit to his command. And you'll think, well, that's crazy. Yeah. If your Christian walk, if your Christian life, if this Christian journey you're on isn't crazy, I'm not sure it's with Jesus. I'm done. Turn the card in. Make your commitment. Laugh at the devil. Yeah, let me tell you what the tie is. You guys ever seen a boxing match where the two boxers come out and they're kind of just jabbing at each other and they're feeling each other out and they're dancing a bit, they're moving a bit and they're jabbing, and man, once in a while it's a little combination, just getting in a rhythm, just seeing it. Yeah, those are okay, but they've got to build. It's like the songs we sing. Some of them are so melodic and so easy. But I'm waiting for the good part where it ramps up and I'm whistling and we're screaming. You know, that's how I am. But those boxing matches, I could take those boxing matches like that because I'm thinking, okay, because somebody's going to land a punch. Somebody's going to draw some blood and we're going to have a fight. Well, let me tell you what the tithe is. The tithe isn't 10% of your income. The tithe is the first 10% of your income. So you know what? When you tithe, it's like you coming out of that corner and that bell ringing, and I'm telling you, you throw in a haymaker that brings your opponent is on the canvas. And you go to a neutral corner, and you're just standing there saying, get up, because let me tell you something. I'm going to get paid again, and I'm going to come out of my corner again, and I'm going to knock you, and I'm going to keep knocking you, and I'm going to knock you down as many times as you want to get up. See, that's what the tithe does for us. Puts us on the offensive. Instead of saying, well, I don't know if I can afford it. How do you know if it's the first 10%? You can afford the last 10%, it might have got eaten up by then. But the first 10%, it's handy. And I'll tell you what you want to be. You want to be handy for God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.